Before we start the show, I just want to know, have you gone to TrillMBA.com and gotten your copy of The 3-Step Surefire Method to Ask for Help Without Getting Dinged? Have you got your copy yet? Well, if you haven't, you need to. Let me tell you about Julia. Julia writes, "So my review went very well. I've only been in the role for 6 months, so I definitely need help. I used the information on inquiring about leadership style and expectations. I gained so much insight on my boss and how to slay my role. Until that podcast, I would have never thought to ask for help. I would have just thugged it out. But she was impressed and I felt motivated and empowered." Listen, you guys, there is no need for you to thug out your role. All you have to do is go to TrillMBA.com and sign up to get the 3-step surefire method to ask for help without getting dinged. So go forth and prosper. Let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, you guys. I'm so excited because today I'm talking with Vonte McRae. Vonte is a passionate writer of screenplays, TV episodic scripts, and reality show concepts who has worked tirelessly in the media industry for over 10 years. In 2016, she became an online film instructor at the Academy of Art University teaching screenwriting. In 2013, she won the Urban Action Showcase Writers Competition for her action crime drama, Queenpin, and was named runner-up for the Best New Writer at the Action on Film Festival for her animated TV series, Mob Rats. Vonte holds a Master of Fine Arts degree in film from the Academy of Art University, and a bachelor's in mass communication from UNC Pembroke. In March of 2019, published by the Women's E-News website, Vonte authored an article originally titled, "I'm Scared Shitless of Success." And now if you look it up, it's titled, "I'm Scared of Success." Vonte's article described the trillest emotions held by Black women in corporate America: fear, courage, self-doubt, confidence, not belonging, resiliency. And she opened the world to a real look at the multifaceted world of the Black woman corporate warrior. When I read this article, I immediately emailed Vonte and asked her to be a guest on the show because I have questions. Vonte, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. That cracked me up because I still have no idea why they even retitled the article, but, you know, it is what it is. That's the biggest thing they did, so I'm fine with it.
So the crazy thing is when I put stuff out, because I curse, and so when I put stuff out, my wonderful website master, an SEO person, she has trouble making ads because I curse. So sometimes it's hard to get stuff through because of curse words. And Facebook, like, it took forever for Facebook to approve the first ad because I'm always
cursing. Oh, no. Well, see, when I'm in corporate America, though, I'm really good as far as, like, meetings go and everything like that. The only time I would curse is if maybe somebody else did that icebreaker. And right. We're, like, in a heated debate about something, then I'm like, okay, the New York side comes out. And I'm cursing like a sailor, you know? And but of course, I can't direct that at anyone because I don't want to be the angry Black woman, you know?
Right. No, then, and that's totally why I created this space of this podcast, the Trill MBA Show, because I wanted to put down the code switching. Like, I wanted to just be my Black ass self. And that's why this show exists, because I am determined to be in this world as 100% me and not having to worry about other people's comfort. Because the thing is, nobody's worried about my comfort. And so it's really hard to go into these spaces And I have to shrink myself. I have to filter every word. I have to watch my back. I have to do all these things. But this is why your words resonated with me so much. And I'm just going to read the first like paragraph so people can get a sense of this article.
But can you wait before you do that, though? I did want to make a statement. I definitely feel that we've somewhat got it wrong as Black women, because I feel like they respect us more by being ourselves. Oh, every totally. Office that I've ever walked into, I'm myself. Like, I keep it real. I'm like, I'm not saying I talk like, you know, I'm from the hood and I want to fight someone, but right. I think they can respect it when you are more outgoing. Not everyone does, and it does cause people to be in a panic, but I've made people respect me as a Black woman and as being myself, mm-hmm. because I present myself highly knowledgeable about what's actually going on. And I feel like if you know your job well, they can't deny you that.
No.
Now, granted, it's taken me a lot of years to get to that level, but now I'm just like, the gloves have come off. I don't care. You're either going to love it or you're not. And that's it. Those are the kind of jobs I'm looking for.
I love that.
Let me be me.
I love that. That is, we are totally aligned. So I'm going to read the first part of this, because this is what grabbed me and kept me reading. It starts out, mm-hmm. I am not a victim, vindictive, or angry. I'm just scared shitless of success. There are times I self-sabotage in life because the ghost of Christmas past haunt me. On my chest is a black scarlet letter that I carry around with me. A plus-size black woman with the audacity to try and make it into the club. That room has been defined by white America since the first black slave stepped onto these shores. The exclusive club that has brought a plague to my career, walking into rooms as the only minority. A victim, I am not, because I still sashay in with my street smarts, defined by a hardened childhood of poverty, drugs, alcohol, domestic abuse, and physical violence, but also a college education. My comfort drinking a 40-ounce bottle of beer outside some housing projects is the same when walking into a boardroom filled with millionaires. Having street smarts and college degrees prepared my militant maneuver within corporate America. There's a calmness in me when there's chaos around me. Vonti, when I tell you, I just, like, what prompted you to be so transparent in this piece?
Well, I mean, I'll have to go from the beginning of how this article even was inspired. So there was a coworker that I used to work with at a media company. And, you know, me and him still connect on Facebook and everything. And, you know, I was letting him know about my blog, therealvonti.com and stuff. And he went to read some of it. And after that, he just started campaigning me like crazy. And there was this beautiful woman, I consider her beautiful now, Anna Ferris, who runs a writer's workshop. It's usually held upstate New York, and they had one more spot. They were like gifting a position. I don't know if people out there listening knows about these conferences and workshops. It's too much money. It's out of my range of what my meager salary will do. So when he tagged me in it on Facebook, she came back immediately like, oh, he's talked about you, blah, blah, blah. We need you at the writer's workshop. It was literally a Wednesday, and she said, can you drive up this Saturday? I said, well, listen, I have a car and we'll travel, you know?
right.
I got there, and it was just so inspiring because it was just these word prompts. And going in, I just knew I was going to feel out of place regardless, you know, because, again, it was something that's in the article where, as a minority woman, I'm walking in rooms where I'm by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't gauge it. You know, there's times where you walk into those rooms and you're like, okay, I hope there's no racist in here, you know, because they're going to make this a very uncomfortable experience.
Right.
And then there's other times where you're like, okay, I feel the vibe. I can feel okay. I walked into that room and it was like 15 white women from all different age ranges, all different career levels. And they just, you know, turned around and looked at me like, like, who is this woman? You know, we haven't seen her before. You know, she's not in the groups that we have, X, Y, and Z. But I just know how to present myself and be an icebreaker in situations like that. It's something I've been doing pretty much since I was like 16 years old working, you know?
Yeah.
So I just went in and I said, I'm taking the gloves off. And one of the word prompts was wearing courage. And I literally had 15 minutes to write that intro that you just read. That was a 15 minutes off the top of my dome on how I felt about wearing courage. And I just said, I'm just going to be real to myself and speak my truth. So that's what pretty much that came to fruition. And I just felt like Black women, we don't have enough of a voice out there. I'm not saying that Black men don't support us as much, but I just don't feel like the voice is as strong in corporate America. Sometimes you walk into these rooms with maybe like other Black people and stuff, and they have this somewhat of a facade of trying to like fit in and speak a certain way and maneuver a certain way. And I've just never really fit into that box because I think I've just had enough. I've pretty much had enough. I've had enough of my salary not being to the level of what supposedly a master's degree was supposed to get you. Mm-hmm. The motivation of keep getting an education, keep doing this, keep doing that. And the equivalent isn't in your bank account.
Yeah.
I don't want to negate other people that have worked as hard and is still not in their bank account. But a lot of us Black people know they've told us work 200% harder than everyone else and you will get there. And that just hasn't come to fruition. So I just felt like I just want to have a candid conversation about how I'm feeling internally.
Right. I said it's so hard to put all those things into words.
It definitely is. That to me was just the iceberg of everything that's been going on. But I just wanted to be real with myself and real with other people about seeing that vision. A lot of us doesn't come from excellent backgrounds. From what I've seen in my life, there isn't any young adult that could approach me and say, well, I've gone through this and I've gone through that and I've gone and I can't do this. I can't. There's no such word in my book about I can't do anything. It's what you've mentally trapped yourself to feel like that you can't do. I've come from the straight up gutter, from the bottom, being on welfare and everything, and built myself all the way up. Graduated from high school with a 1.9 GPA, failed 12 classes, had to do an extra year in high school. But somehow I still managed to get into 5 out-of-state colleges. And that just came from me saying, enough with the excuses. Right. Are you going to let all these past experiences define how you move forward in life? So it pretty much was giving a fuck you to the system.
I love that. You work in the television and film industry, which is known for being like a really tough industry to work in. And that's for the whites. So...
Yeah. Oh my God.
How do you encourage yourself to keep working towards the vision that you have for your career in this industry?
I feel like I have a unique voice. It's just been my passion since I was a little kid. I've been reading so many novels since I was a kid. Me and my twin sister, we were raised as little kids in Rayford, North Carolina. And we were in one of them country style homes that was hot as hell, one of them cinder block small homes. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother didn't have air conditioning. So me and my twin, as little girls, like 8 years old, where it wasn't as scary because everyone knew everyone, that we would walk to the library 2 miles down the road by ourselves just to sit in the library all day. I remember my first book ever was reading the Guinness Book of World Records. It was a massive picture book to me, and I just read through it. And that's how me and my twin became passionate about reading. We just read everything. We wrote a lot of essays. We were killing the spelling bees and all that. And then my grandmother turned on the TV. And that was it for me. I found the best of both worlds, which was writing content to go on television. The biggest thing that drove me to write the action adventures, the crime dramas and everything was sitting in a theater in the 90s when Jurassic Park came out.
Yep.
And they had the surround sound system. And that was my first experience with surround sound. And you heard all these little noises in the background and mm-hmm. the velociraptors running around. And I said, this is the vision that I want to bring. Something that can engage thousands of people at one time. take them away from the world that they've experienced, because it helped me so much with the abuse and people that were like drinking a lot of alcohol and just all the violence that was going on. It just always helped me check out. So I looked up in college, well, I think I'm a good writer. I'm a writer screenplay. And I said, well, let me check the salary range. And girl, I kid you not, literally the salary range said $0 to $1 million+. So I said, oh my gosh, girl, the journey you about to go on.
Right.
$0 to $1 million+. I mean, even a nurse can figure out how much she's going to make. A doctor, you know, an MTA worker, everybody knows how much they're going to make. Me going in, I could make no money and go broke, or I could be filthy.
Right. The
so
sky's
I just decided to follow the dream. What else can you do?
Yeah.
You done seen the shit side of life, so why not?
Right? At that point, you have nothing to lose.
When you have nothing to lose, what do you have to lose in investing in yourself?
Nothing.
You get what I'm saying? Like, that's what if you read more of the article, it says, like, you only get one ticket to ride, one ticket for fun. That's it. So why not make this life yours instead of letting anyone else define it for you, especially as a woman? We know as women, they've told us which careers to go into, what we're allowed to say, what we're allowed to do. Oh, if you're a mom, you need to be a stay-at-home mom. If you're going into this field, well, you can only go this high. Who said there's a restriction on women?
Amen. So last question for you. For women rising the ranks in corporate America, what has been your biggest lesson? What's the thing that you wish you understood but had to learn the hard way because you didn't have someone to tell you?
I would say it's more than one. One of the top ones would be a mentor. I did not have a media mentor. I just wish I would have had a mentor that could understand my voice as a woman. I would love even now to have a mentor. But that was one thing that I said was definitely lacking, to also be inspired as a Black woman to go above and beyond. You know, that's what was missing. Everyone was, I'm not trying to throw anyone under the bus, but when I graduated college, you know, I had sacrificed so much. I pretty much put myself through college. They're still chasing me for these student loans, you know? the amount of student loans that I owe is mind-boggling. But I remember graduating, and my mom pulled me to the side, and she said, well, it's nice that you got your bachelor's degree, but so are you going to put in for these post office applications and maybe to work for the MTA? And to have somebody just look me in the eye as a woman, a Black woman especially, and say, you know, this is nice that you got this, but you need a real career. And I've even had people now that I'm pursuing writing full time, they still are like, okay, so when are you getting a real job? To still have people say, well, this is nice, Black woman, but what else are you going to do? Kind of thing.
Yeah, that comes to fruition when you're like in a room with people and it's like a little networking thing. And it's the, So where are you at now? And I'm like, I'm actually working for myself. And they're like, oh.
And my thing is, I would say to people like that, what is hurting me to follow the dream? Because following the dream is getting me to the next 5 years, 10 years, 25 years, 50 years. You know, to always have a goal to reach. I feel like a lot of times as Black women, we do become complacent because we're not holding our head up high enough. You know, we're getting these degrees and not really being fearless. My goal isn't to manipulate the system. It's always to be a human being first.
And that's the key.
But again, within the article you could read, what made me unique also put a big target on my back.
Mm-hmm.
How can she be so fearless? How can she look us in the eye? How can she dare feel like she's equal to us? So going back to the mentor thing, that's something that I wish I would have had. Someone that said, well, Vonti, move like this or whatever, you know.
Right.
These are ways maybe to pitch yourself better and everything, because it's always been me intimidating someone just for being in the room.
Like, that's normal. You walk in the room and you can't control how other people feel and what baggage they brought in with them that gets triggered when they see you.
Absolutely. Girl, I wish somebody would say something about me walking in the boardroom with my afro out. They not crazy. Girl, I'll go with my natural hair. I'll go down with some Senegalese twists down to my butt, not pinned up. I don't care. I'm going in, and I'm going to run that whole room. So that was things that I touched on in the article, because I'm like, if you're going to take away from someone's livelihood, because that's one thing I always say, you can do anything you want to me, but don't fuck with my money.
Yep.
I don't know about anybody else, but don't fuck with my money, because my money is my livelihood. And to take away from that because of a personal opinion that has no jurisdiction within this workplace, like, you shouldn't even be having those thoughts.
Have you figured out how to get advocates? Have you created a plan for your career, how to get mentors and advocates now?
I think just putting more of my content out there to say, definitely, I am a screenwriter. You know, I have created the blog, therealvonti.com. I just think now I'm just networking more. I'm looking into writing fellowships, writing grants. That's pretty much what I've been doing, is just advocating for myself and just making sure I'm networking. Mentoring is really big, mm-hmm. and networking within the media industry. Because I'll tell you right now, me going to film school, I learned more by being on the film set than I learned within the classroom. And that had nothing to do with the instructors or whatever. Some people just work better hands-on, mm-hmm. and I was one of those people. I've been on this journey since I was 18 years old, and it's been, you still have to support yourself, so you can't, oh, I'm going to just go write and go sit in the corner somewhere. No, child. I've always supported myself financial-wise, so I've been doing the screenwriting and submitting myself to competitions, networking here and there, going to different events, pitching ideas and all that. But again, it's always been, girl, you need to go back to work. And I'm pretty sure there's other Black women that have experienced that. Like, you want to follow your dream, but we don't have that wealth that a lot of people might have, you know?
Yeah, the support that systems.
Whole, oh, I could go sleep on someone's couch and thug it out for a couple years, you know?
Right.
Especially when you're older, too. Sometimes they don't even want to hire you for internship.
Yeah, being older, it's like, no, we want a 19-year-old.
Yes, and that's another discouraging thing. There's a few that's like, okay, we want seasoned professionals, but a lot of them will say internship for recent graduates. And it's so disheartening, because for me as a writer, I don't have a cap to see this dream happen. I remember, I think I read Taraji P. Henson said that she didn't even make it to Hollywood until she was in her 40s. So if you're going to get into media, just look at all the avenues. There was one thing that I wanted to say to people, too, is that getting into media, there was this woman was like, oh, you want to work in media? Did you know all the studios, the majority of them have their own staffing agency on site or staffing services attached to it? And I was like, are you serious? She was like, yeah, they have a temp agency attached to it. And I said, what the? Nobody in media told me the secret. This woman's not even in media. And she knew this, you know. Mm-hmm. So I found that out in one of the studios I wanted to work for. I ended up calling their staffing agencies. They brought me on as a temp. It was a temp to hire position. Literally after 3 months, they hired me on permanently. Because my thing is, if you're going to let me in the door, you're never going to be able to close that door again. You know?
Right.
And that's the way that's the way that I see it in everything. When you have a dream and someone opens the door, they're going to have to put a whole deadbolt and a new lock and everything. Don't let them close that door in your dream. So I would say networking, mentoring, and volunteering if you can. Or even some of the film festivals. Go and volunteer at those. Sign up to be a volunteer, because when I was at HBO, they sponsored a lot of film festivals. And what they would do is ask employees, would you want to go volunteer? I would go volunteer at the film festivals and would meet everybody. You get so much access behind scenes. It's ridiculous. You literally meet in all the filmmakers. You can meet all of the stars. You might even escort some of the celebrities around because you're a volunteer there. So that means you get that one-on-one time with people that you wanted to meet. That's another suggestion I would have, is people to get in.
Well, Vonti, I want to thank you for all the life hacks. I also want to thank you for keeping it true today. And I want to just let you know that I appreciate that you give a voice to oftentimes people who are voiceless. You are not alone.
Yes.
And that's why I want to share your story. So you have definitely inspired me to keep fighting for all my dreams, to keep fighting for us, and to just inspire people to keep going. Even though you don't know where it's going to end up, just keep working, keep grinding. So please let my Trill NBA show Corporate Warriors know how they can connect with you.
Yes. So I have the blog, therealvonti.com, that actually has samples of my writing for people to check out. And then you can also reach me at Instagram, the_real_Vonti on Instagram. So it's pretty much the real Vonti. And then you can also reach out to me, Ms. Vonti McCray @gmail.com, for any inquiries or write-in or anything like that. So thank you so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. I'd love for more people to read the article and just give me some feedback on what you think and move forward. Don't let anybody kill your dream, because they're not in control of your dream. We all going 6 feet under, but we going by ourselves. So there's nobody out here that can tell me what to do with my life and my career.
Amen. So if you need some help or advice about specific situations, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I'm happy to either answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation, and ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. Until next time, you guys, keep it trill. The Trill NBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production. Executive produced by Felicia and Rose Anuha. Music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.